going to be information that is useless that I'll tell you. Like, this here. I thought about this more just this week. Okay, kind of where my mind goes. Like, what is that useless information for? I thought about this week. I've been using Kent's warehouse and I've been going up and looking at the same. So all week, well, next couple weeks, sinks that turn on with your name, sinks that turn on with your feet, all sorts of sinks out there, right? So I think to myself, who invented this thing? Okay. So I started looking through who invented this thing. And what I found out is no one really invented this thing. It's kind of been a process because you don't know the first person that invented this thing. It's just been a process. They know obviously, and then you go back to the garden, well, because they have some type of, water, a basin that drained down. So no one really knows who invented the modern day thing. But they do know that, they use this kind of thing. They have bowls and wine. Plenty of get only things out there. But I got sucked into one, and I got sucked into an inventor. So I like to read about it. Bowen, the company Bowen, the faucet. Alfred Bowen was a guy in college, and he invented the single faucet, the single-hand faucet, because he was a student in college working in a garage, and he put himself to college, and after his shift was done, he goes and turns on the sink, and he burns his skin, because at that time, it was just the $2 sink. That was in 1937, and he went and burned his skin, and he goes and got confused with, how can I get the volume and temperature of water through a single bottle? Who borrows the money, and of course, the whole industry takes a big hit, not whatever that word. Make a long story short, it didn't go anywhere. He got drafted into the Navy, and he came back. But when he does it, he still has this dream of, how can I get this faucet to work? And eventually, in the 50s then, he was listed up there as one of the best inventors of faucets, and they were listed with Stuart Model T, and he was listed with, there's another one, some of the other companies that were great designs. So he was listed up there. So that's how we got the modern day faucet that we know of today with the single handle. So he invented it, Alfred Bowen. He never owned the company. They named it after him. He just wanted to be an R&D and he just wanted to make sense. That's all he wanted to do. And he has 75 patents of his belt. But anyway, you know why? Kitchen appliances don't like to hang out with sinks. Sinks are very green. And rough grass. Alright, let's pray this morning before we get into service. Father God, we thank you for just the time that we can be together. We thank you for the time that we can worship you. We thank you for the time that we can just have fellowship together and get to know one another better. Really just connect with one another. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you will connect with us, that your Spirit will speak to us this morning, help us to see what we can do better for you in our life, with our people around us, and speak to us this morning, and pray. Amen. James 5. We're going to be finishing up James this morning as we've been rolling once again, I can't finish off the whole series of James and stay right along track. So James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, did not believe that Jesus was as the Messiah through Jesus' ministry, but after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he appeared to James. James then became a believer
I went up and we prayed together, you know, had a bunch of chatted, talked about family and kids, and talked about death, because we knew that might be a kid for Ryzen, and we discussed that. And then about a week later, he flew me back to the hospital. And he's in the hospital in Reading, the doctor that came through, Phil, said, oh, he needs to he'll be older. To Philadelphia. So in Philadelphia, they give it to us, and I have this, my prayer book that I have logged in here. December 26, 2021, at 11:59, I took this book and I went down to meet my friend who's on his bed with a bad heart. And as he's lying there, 58 years old, I figured, okay, this is what James is telling me to do, and guess what? I was just quick, and he was an elder. Yeah. Boiled down, and I prayed. I was praying for this man. I was praying for myself. Any sin that I thought that I might have committed in my world, I'm confessing because I want to be gracious. So I'm taking this scripture right here and says, hey, Lord, you can heal him. Right? No. And then we have examples that we spoke to. People were healed in the name of the Lord. December 26, 2021, at 11:59 on Sunday morning, I'm sitting with my friend. I put wood on his hand, my hand, his holy hand, and I'm praying for his health, that his heart was healed. And the nurse even said, wow, you can tell you guys know each other. He's in a coma and he's getting all agitated. He's trying to come out and pick him out of whatever he was in. So I continued to pray. I prayed for his family and we talked and hugged. And I went on my way. Driving down the Schuylkill, the radio's off, traffic, I'm kind of like in my own little world as driving. And the Lord said to me, Jeff, I heard your prayer. But I'm not going to heal him on this side of the prayer. He's going to be healed after. But he will be healed. I heard your prayer. He will be healed. I wasn't expecting to have that. Right? I wasn't expecting to hear that spoken to me from the Spirit within me. And when I got home, I had firm belief that, okay, this is going to happen. That night, it's Sunday night, we got a call late in the night, and there's some people at the church that were getting together to pray for him and the family, so we went over and prayed if he found a way to make it better, whatever it might. And my prayer at that time was a little different. That night was, where we know you can heal him now, but he will be done. He will be healed. And about a week later, he passed away. And this man, guess what? He was healed. God's will sets the course for him. But it's not our will. James is saying here, yeah, we can pray, we can anoint, but it all comes down to the Lord's will, that we will be healed on this side of the grave, but as believers, we will be healed. And for instance, James 4:15, we talked about this the other week. We should be saying, if it's the Lord's will, we will go to that, right? Talked about that before. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 6:10. The Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy or your will be done. God's will be done. Matthew 26:39. Jesus was sitting in the garden. While Jesus is in the garden, we know that he's sweating cups of blood. And as the anguish of knowing what's going to take place in his life before he goes to the cross, he knows the turmoil that's going to take place. And what does Jesus pray? Matthew. We'll jump to that real quick. Matthew 10. Matthew 26. Verse 39. Going a little further, Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus goes to God. God, this is your will. Revelation, we see the same thing. From God's will, from the very beginning of time, to the current stage, to the end. Same thing. Revelation. Chapter 4, verse 11 says this. I'm sorry, verse 11. I'm going to start asking verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created, and they have been by God's will." Read James, and this is where the deceiver likes to trick people. People will say, "Well, look, your friend Jeff died. Your friend wasn't healed. You might have prayed for him, for his family, for his healing, and you did what Scripture says. You did what James says, anoint oil and pray together, and he will be healed." And then people see that when it doesn't happen exactly how our will is, and they start to doubt, and they start to turn, and they take their eyes off of God's will, and they start to be confused of what God doesn't care about. Well, God doesn't really have this concern for people to feel. Well, we all die, right? We know that. I mean, if everyone lived that we prayed for to be healed, the whole world would be packed. We love people. We don't want them to be dead. But God's will is death. God's will is from death to beginning. And he's kind of, James is telling us, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You know, of the saints. Also in Revelation 5, the prayers of the saints. So many times we think that we just nothing. We're praying and no one hears us. We're praying and it doesn't go anywhere. Revelation 5 talks about the prayers are an incense. The prayers are a golden stand and a bowl in heaven. Of the saints are an incense. That's the prayer. We're saints. We're saints. We're supposed to be praying. The Lord hears our prayers. Those prayers are selected. And God's will is going to be done. If we think it should be done this way, and it doesn't happen this way, we can't do it. What God is doing. God's will be done, not our will be done, not our will. So the two bowls are filled with incense, and those bowls are the prayers of the saints. That's pretty amazing. So as we continue our life and we get older, and we're looking more at years that we know eventually we will all pass. Our prayer is heaven and bold as an incense. God's will be done. God's will be done. James. I'm going to read 17. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. I wrote the message today. Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Remember this. Out of everything James talked about in this letter, James talked about the trial. Persevere. Continue to pray. We're going to have trials. And then he talks about harboring envy and selfish ambition, and how that turns into all kinds of sin within our life. And he talks about all these things that James talks about. And he talks about the prayer. He talks about the prayer of a righteous man. He gets into all this stuff. But what does James stop with? And he even talks about listen up, listen. Remember, listen up. Your life is sin. Or listen up, rich man. Your money is worthless, really, in God's eyes. So he talks about all the things, but at the end, the very end of this chapter, James says, remember this. This is what is so great. This is what we have to remember. As we get in our life and get busy, and we have family, and we have friends, and we have all sorts of activities, and we have all sorts of stuff going on all the time. He says, remember this. Whoever, Jeff, whoever, John, whoever, Janet, whoever, we're all whoever. Gil, you're whoever. Whoever to Steve, you're whoever. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death. God's will is for us to continue to speak the gospel. God's will, which was sent Christ as our Savior, to give us salvation. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is our only form of salvation. That's our only way to get to heaven, is to trust and believe that Jesus died for our sins, and to take hold of that. And James is saying, remember this. Not remember all this other stuff. Not remember, well, the stock market's really a different thing. Not remember my car that I had that I loved, or whatever. Not even remember how great my marriage is. He says, remember this. Whoever turns this sinner from the error of his way. That's our job. I'm standing up here, I'm just like you. There's nothing special about me. I'll guarantee that's my wife. She'll tell you that right up front. What's special about that guy? The rest of the kids are like, Dad, what are you doing? But whoever, and we have friends, we might have family members who maybe have went to this church, who have walked away from this thing because they see, well, you know, I prayed to God years ago about so much to heal. And guess what? They didn't get healed. God did. And they turn and walk away from the faith. James is telling us, brothers and sisters, me, you, there's people out there. That world out there all around us. They need the gospel. Remember this. Whoever turns to sin, we can't turn. wherever it may be, in school, online. However that book in our world, whoever how many people would listen to us? And I guess if you had a beeline and a hemline projection, okay, this investment, if you put in $1,000, you're going to get $1 million guaranteed. How many people would you tell? I would. What is it? If it was guaranteed, how many people would you tell? We can tell everyone we know. And people would be like, well, that's not true. That's a possibility. You have to listen to me. And you have an urgency. And I'm going, I'm trying to help you. How many times do you do that with our salvation? How many times do you do that with Jesus? Because this is what James, you know, all the stuff, you remember. It's not about the money. It's not about the deal. It's not about all this other church tradition. It's not about other things. Now, this simple thing right here, which James learned by watching Jesus, we were talking about a man who did not believe who he was, and Jesus continued to chase after James. And after Jesus was resurrected, he continued to chase after James. James was a sinner, and he was turned from the error of his way, and he is now James was telling us to do the same thing. That's our job. Open our mouth. We need to be praying to them. Where are we on that? I know sometimes, for me, I'm right there doing it. We have family members. Same thing. Sometimes we don't want to cause a stir. We don't want to cause, you know. And I'm not saying we're judging people. We don't want that, right? We're not here to judge. But we are here to remind people, speak the truth. We need to continue to speak the truth. We had a discussion today about this world is 100% full throttle deception. That's where we are. When people don't know what gender they are, when people know the basic Bible stories, and people don't even know who Jesus is anymore in a lot of places. Why? Because the church has stopped speaking truth. We need to speak truth. Part of that truth stems and starts at our salvation. So, this week, and I will pray now, and I want to pray as we end up with the sermon. But we'll remember this. How the whole series of things, all sorts of great stuff in there, all sorts of things you see, it comes down to remembering this aspect right there. That's what we need to remember. Father God, we come before you and we thank you for James. We thank you for the letter that you wrote to the believers that was scattered. Just like so many of us Christians are scattered. Lord, help us to remember this, what Jesus has been doing. Lord, we know that we continue to follow after Jesus, that we saw him as we remember. Thank you for James documenting and writing down this book, because this book can help us excel better in our Christian life, follow you better. Same thing as you talked about. Lord, help us to remember them. Help us this week to speak to those around us that are sinners, who are sinners. Help us to help people of the gospel. Lord, we know that there's people all around us, if they were to die, they're going to help. We don't want to. Help us to remember. Help us to speak in love, speak in truth, and hear and show people the gospel.